I'm stuck in the chicken coop. Oh, man.
Entertaining, are you?
This is fantastic.
Uh-huh. There's a latch there so that it doesn't lock on me.
Hey, this is Jared.
Hey, friends. This is Annette, and this is our Azure Farm podcast, where we're going to talk about all things farm, family, home, and all things in between. We hope you enjoy it. Hello, everybody. Here we are chatting it up on Love Week.
It's like Shark Week, but Love Week.
I mean, technically, I feel like love should be expressed all the time.
Oh, my.
But that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Mushy Gushy. Welcome to a Mushy Gushy episode.
Do you not think so?
Yes, love should be expressed all the time.
So it shouldn't just be about Valentine's whatever you want to call it. But anyways, I think we've made it a habit over the last however long we've been together, half a century, it seems.
Whoa.
That we don't really do anything on Valentine's. A, there's too many people out. I can't handle it. B, it's just too much. Too much, too much. So that doesn't mean I don't like Valentine's. I like certain things, and it's fun to like decorate. And it was actually really fun doing some stuff with Ava this year. But today's Thursday. We decided we're going to go out to eat tonight.
That's right. We're celebrating.
Which is like a thing for us to go out to eat because it's kind of far. So it takes a lot of a lot of dedication to say we're actually going to go somewhere. So I think we're going to try to go somewhere. But what I'm going to say is that Monday night was Valentine's. So Jared and I had a very romantic time eating popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean we were sitting on the couch and I was eating some kettle corn popcorn. Which I will say is a favorite of mine. I try to not keep anything sweet at home. Like, we're pretty good about not keeping, like, junk food, I guess. Jared's, like, extra good. There's no Valentine's chocolates for Jared. No, no. He doesn't want none of those. Do you know what's a way to Jared's heart? Get him a box of dates.
Oh.
Majul, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Majul dates. That's what Jared likes,
that's
is sugar.
Right.
So sometimes I want a little something extra, so I buy me some kettle corn popcorn. Yes, I do. So I was sitting on the couch. I got a little container, crunching on my popcorn. So excited. And I finished it, or so I thought, and I set it to the side. And then I looked over and I was like, oh, Annette, you know, I try to not eat a lot on the couch because, you know, you don't want to spill and make a mess. But I saw that a piece had fallen onto the couch, which I know I'm already showing myself as being gross because I should have just tossed it. But I was like, well, no, I'll just eat this little piece of popcorn that fell on the couch because then I'm cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's kettle corn, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. Jared's sitting next to me. What did I do? I put it in my mouth. Didn't I turn to you?
He said, oh, and you spit it back in the glass, I think.
Yeah. And I was like, this was not what I thought it was. Something happened to the kettle corn popcorn. It was like extra crunchy in a weird way. And I spit it out. I couldn't see. It was kind of dark. So I put it in the glass. So Jared got up to go to the kitchen. And I said, hey, will you take this back to the kitchen? And while you're at it, will you look and see if that was actually popcorn? Because I had this like thought that it possibly was not popcorn that I had half eaten and chewed.
Mm-hmm.
So you took it to the kitchen, and what'd you do? I'm not sure what you did.
I looked down and I saw a bee. Half of a bee. The other half had been eaten by Annette. And I thought, that is insane. That is a honey bee. His half of his carcass is in this glass.
Now, don't ask me why a bee. I'm assuming it, maybe one of the cats, like it was on, like they went outside. It was on, maybe on Georgia.
No. The bee was eating the kettle corn because it's sweet.
No. What?
That's what happened.
The bee was not in the popcorn.
That's what you think.
Okay, well, anyways. So on Valentine's, our romantic time included, I ate a bee. Won't you be mine? See? That kind of tied that in well, didn't I?
That's good.
But anyways, so yeah. All right. I had my little crunch of a bee. And yeah, love week. Jared said he wanted to talk about love, so I don't know what he wants to say, but he was all about it.
I am obsessed with love this week.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to talk about it with everyone I can find that'll listen to me. And I kind of just have this epiphany. So last weekend, I was working on a presentation that I gave at our church. I thought, okay, well, hey, you know, where do you go to the source of all truth to find out about love? Well, of course, you go to Google. And so I went to Google, and Google describes love as an intense emotion. And I was like, well, that's very interesting, because the Bible actually describes it as a totally different thing. And I think for me, why I'm so obsessed with this is I think we've been hoodwinked on what love is.
I'm sorry, I do not know what that word is.
Hoodwinked. All right, I got to translate it for the kiddos. The wool has been pulled over our eyes.
Oh, okay.
We have been tricked.
Okay.
Disney and other...
Got it.
Brands have confused us on what love is.
Well, we just think, the media, right?
Yeah. Love is this emotion, and it's passionate. And so I went down this rabbit hole to where you see a totally different idea about... And you've probably heard this at weddings. So people read 1 Corinthians 13 at lots of weddings.
I can actually sing it.
Whoa.
Yeah. If you'd like, I'll sing it to you later.
Okay, thank you. But it describes love... not an emotion. That love is a principle, love is a practice, love is something you do that really doesn't matter who's on the receiving end of it. You're not going to change what you're doing. And I think that's where we have this idea of, well, I'll love them if they love me. It's like, no, that's not love. That's called selfishness. And if it's a sexual relationship, it's like, we don't really know if you're in love. Like, maybe you just want something from the other person. So love suffers long, it's kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Keeps going. Love doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. And in the context of there, the Bible is basically describing you can give all your money to the poor, you can die for your faith, you could have faith to move mountains, like you can have all these lofty, theologically faith-ridden words of whatever. They mean nothing if you don't love people. There's this other place where literally God describes, how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen if you don't love your neighbor whom you have seen? So I guess this rabbit hole I went down was, first off, I kind of took it down the path of friendships. That if you've ever been in a romantic relationship, romance and sex gloss over rough edges in maybe your relationship. But friends don't have that glossing over. So if you have a real friendship, boy, you got to really love that person. And your hope is that the other person loves you and you experience the same thing that you are giving. But too many people, and I know we've all been guilty of this, are convinced, well, love is this two-way street. No, that is not love. Love is not a two-way street. Love is a one-way street. You love other people. You just happen to hope that you're around other people that love other people. But this, as soon as you start to say, well, I'm going to love if someone else loves me or does this for me, well, first off, we're using the wrong words. That's called selfishness. And if the true definition of love is it's not selfish, it's not greedy, it's not seeking its own, like you just blow that out of the water. It's like all our romance novels, all of our films blown out of the water with, well, then what is it? And I would say most of the time, it's just selfishness. And I think the trap we fall into is, you know, we could smile at people and do things for people with really the hope, I hope they do something for me. And it's like, just be clear. You don't love in that relationship. You are seeking to get something. Love is someone doesn't like what you're doing. They don't want you to give them a gift. They don't care about your gift. They don't like, maybe they're rude to you for a lot of us, it's like, okay, well, then I'm going to stop showing love. It's like, no, that's not what it is. Love is a principle by which you live. And the hope is that people are so like inspired by it that they want to live the same way. Anyway, so you can see I'm a little passionate about this.
Well, I like how you said that. Love is a principle by which you live. And I think a lot of us maybe have principles or like core things that we say we live by. So it's interesting to think of love as one of those as well, I guess. That's a different way to look at it.
Yeah, meaning love has nothing to do with the response it gets.
Yeah.
And if you're expecting a response, well, then you need to be questioning if you really love someone. Because you may just be selfishly seeking to do a transaction. I will do these things for you, treat you in a certain way, but you need to do these things for me. And based on the purest definition of love, that's not really love.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's a wake-up call for me. Like, what's my motive in different things? And that's really only between me and God. Like, what's my motives? Others may say, ah, they're such a great person. They do all these kind things. But half the time we see in celebrities and things, it's like they do it to get press.
Right.
You know, so it's like,
and really? It's hard. I mean, that's hard. I'll say, you know, honestly, like it's hard to not think selfishly in that way. I mean, mm-hmm. I've thought like that, or I think like that,
because
mm-hmm. sometimes it's like, oh, I do this. Well, I want them to do this for me or expect this back. So it's hard to just think of the principle as like, no, like I'm going to love no matter what and expect nothing in return. You know, that's kind of a different way to look at it. But if we all live by that principle, we would in turn probably all show each other more love because yeah. we're just, it's part of our expression. Like it's just what we do no matter what.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I think for me, what has been totally enlightening in this is, with the idea of God, that we live in a world where people expect others to do something different than the rules by which they are held to. So like on Sunday night, watching the Super Bowl, the world was told COVID ended. Now, LA County was telling people everyone was required to wear masks at the Super Bowl. Do you know this?
Oh, really?
They were given N95s. They were told you must wear N95s. Well, based on what I saw on television, no one was wearing N95s or any masks.
Yeah.
And the signal that sends to the world is if you're rich or powerful or elite, you're not held to the same rules by which the rest of us are. I say all that to say this. A lot of people think that's the way God works. Well, he tells us things that he will not be held to. But in this idea of love, it's like, well, not actually. Because the story says he laid down his own existence, not sure if it would ever exist again, in order to save people he loves. I think the verse is, it's like John 15:13. It says, there's no greater love than this, than someone lays down their life for their friends. And so it's like, wow, to think that the highest on the totem pole, God, doesn't ask us to do something that he wasn't willing to do himself. So I just think in friendships, it's like, boy, you can't mimic something you haven't seen. So more of us just need to show that kind of love to people, and it will awaken in people something that they didn't even know was there.
Some people, I think a lot of people probably have never experienced a true form of love.
No, they haven't.
Which is really sad. I don't think we were intended to live that way. I think we were created to express love and show love and experience that love to its fullest. Mm-hmm. And sadly, we've not done that. So
that's right. And if that's why we can
show that to others. Yeah.
Religion has a bad name. Christianity has a bad name because it says, oh, you don't agree with me? Well, then I'm not going to treat you with love.
Right.
Like, what? Well, that's not love.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I'm off my high horse. If you want to go listen to my full story about two friends and a saga about this idea of true friendship, love, then maybe Annette can link to it. But
oh yeah, because you did a whole nother talk on it. Okay, I will do that. But right. Okay, well, thank you, Jared, for that.
Thanks for letting me get on my soapbox today.
No, I think it's good, and it's something definitely I think we should all think about. So I will leave it at that. I won't try to add any more. You said it just right. So just don't eat bees. But do enjoy kettle corn.
Don't eat bees. Love the bees.
Yes, and love the bees, love the people. Okay, that's good. Thank you for listening. And from our happy Farmly to yours, we will be back next time.